This Sunday's readings, in these past few weeks, and this week as well, they all have this very long gospel and a lot of imagery and all of these things. When I was a child, I used to think the priest was lazy when he didn't read the whole thing, and I'd get mad. I don't know why. I understand now, because it's very difficult, you know, to choose just one thing that you want to preach about and get it zoned in. And so I don't want to flood your mind with all of these different images. Just a few. The first reading today, we see Solomon, who is a young king who has waged no battles, no wars in order to become king, but has inherited the kingship from his father David. God has given it to him. God has chosen him. He has been anointed for the task. It is his identity as a king that he has received from God. There are no seemingly earthly accolades on his part that, you know, I deserve to be king. Look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. Look at the things that, you know, these kingly things that I have done. Solomon recognizes that he is young. He recognizes the task of being a king and the burden and the weight and all of the people that he is to make decisions for their good, for the good of the nation, for the good of the tribes, for the good of all of these people. And so when he has this mysterious encounter with God in a dream, and God asks him, Solomon, how can I bless you? Name it, and it will be yours. Solomon makes his request in accordance with his identity. Not his identity as a human being, according to his desires of what he wants or what would be great, what would make life easy, what would make this, but in accordance with his vocation, his call, his identity as a king. He recognizes that it is beyond him, beyond his gifts, beyond his talents, beyond his human ability, and so he asks for wisdom so that he can fulfill this call in his life, so that he can be a good king. And God is very pleased with what Solomon asks for. And because he seemingly has asked for that which is most important, God said, I will give this to you, and I will give it to you in abundance, and I'm going to bless you in all these other ways as well. Solomon seemingly has found that treasure in the field. He has found that pearl of great price. Jesus makes it very clear that when we find the kingdom of God, when we enter into it, it is this incredible treasure. It is this incredible blessing. So much so that the one who finds it will sell everything to possess it. It doesn't say a third of what he possessed, a quarter of what he possessed, half of what he possessed. Everything. What would you sell everything in your life for? Sells everything in order to possess the kingdom of God. Now, the beautiful thing about that, in my mind when reading that, is I see, forgive me, but I see a poor naked man holding a big old pearl sitting there on the street, you know, mumbling to himself, right? He has nothing, right? Everything, it's all gone. But he has this pearl. And he's just like sitting there mumbling to himself, right? This is not the kingdom of God, okay? The problem is in our life, when we do not possess the kingdom, when we do not have that which is of great value, everything vies for that spot in our life. Everything vies for that central place in our life to give to us identity. We try to identify, all these things jam into that place, that the heart of our life, the center of ourselves. It all jams in there trying to be that thing which defines us. And it sounds abusive in that way, but we do this. We do this in ourselves. We cling to an identity because of our actions. We cling to our identity because of our possessions. We cling to our identity because of relationships. And it is all vying for that place of vital importance. But that place is for God and God alone. And when we possess God there, when God takes up His place, that place within us that only He is to be, then everything else has to move out of the way. Everything else has to find its proper relationship to us and our life. It's why it is so vitally important, my brothers and sisters, that you understand that your faith in Jesus Christ, what He has done for you, what you have entered into by your baptism and your confirmation, is everything for you. It reveals who you are. And who you are, my brothers and sisters, let's be very clear about this. When God enters into your life, when Jesus comes into the world, takes your lowly humanity to Himself, okay, does that sound like someone who hates humanity? He takes your humanity, my humanity, to Himself, tenderly, deeply, making it one with Him, not as a tool that when He's done saving the world, He casts aside, but that which is vitally important, and He draws it to Himself, and through that humanity redeems the world and doesn't leave the humanity rotting in a grave, but raises it to eternal life. All right? So when I say it reveals your humanity, we have to get out of our mindset that our humanity, we want to define it by all of the brokenness, right? All the shortcomings, all the inabilities, all the poverties, all the weaknesses. No. My brothers and sisters, when God takes to Himself our humanity, He reveals the created goodness of it and His desire to redeem it, not only for it to be very good, but to be great and awesome because He is drawing it to Himself. I say, you know, there's a false message in the world that possesses some truth. And that is, you can define yourself. You can become whatever you want. You can pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You are not, you know, stuck in a situation like, if my parents did this. So my father grew up, my grandpa was a day laborer. You know what a day laborer is? Someone doesn't have a job, a solid job every day. And every day has to find and look for work in order to do things. My grandpa did everything. He would do jobs of putting insulation in houses. He would drive trucks, logging trucks, across frozen lakes, which he did not like doing. He used to drive with the door open, so if the ice broke, he was jumping out. He would pick potatoes up in northern Maine. When my dad said to my grandma and my grandpa that he was thinking about going to the seminary, they laughed and they said, "Galen, who do you think you are? Let so-and-so's son go to the seminary. They're well-to-do. They're well-known. They're good. You, get married. Have some kids. Who do you think you are?" It's this mentality that is in our American culture of like, you are not restricted. You are not locked into what your parents did. You know, you can change that. You can change your destiny. You can do all these things. There's something really beautiful and good that speaks to that. But the issue is, my brothers and sisters, is what happens when whatever you stick in that hole fails you. When you're no longer able to do that job that you cling to for your identity, you have to retire. And all of a sudden, there's an identity crisis. What happens if you put another human being in that place? And heaven forbid, they go ahead and they die on you. Now, I'm saying that very tongue-in-cheek. Everyone's going to die. But when you put them in that place that God and God alone, that you were to draw your identity from them, and you put them in that place and you enthrone them within your heart, and then they die on you, it's devastating. It destroys everything in your life. And God is speaking to us about how important our life is, how important that you be grounded in something so much greater than a job or a person or a possession, because all of those things are fleeting. He wants to be that anchor in your life, that place, that sticking point, the one who dies no more. You realize that? Jesus is alive in his humanity, and he will never die on you again. He wants to be that for you, that sticking place, that anchor, that identity. I've made this point several times. I love going to thrift stores. First time I went to thrift stores because I was heading to Mexico to study Spanish, and they said, Father, you can't wear your clerics down there because people aren't used to it. It was illegal up until like 20 years ago to wear your clerics in public in Mexico. So they said, you need to just get some regular clothes and wear them. I'm like, okay. But all my regular clothes, I bought them back when I was in college, and it had been many years, and they were all worn out, or they had nothing fit. And so I went to a thrift store, got some shirts, got some pants, warm for the 6 weeks I was in Mexico, and then when I got back, I was like, cool, washed them, dropped them back off at the thrift store. I love thrift stores. But I've learned, if you do not have a plan for your life, for the things that you possess, you will go to thrift stores and you will go, that's an incredible deal. That's a great deal. And next thing you know, you'll go into your living room and there'll be furniture stacked on top of each other that was a great deal, but you're like, I just couldn't say no, it was such a great deal. It's like, but you can't even sit in your living room. You get so much stuff in it, so many great deals in it, you can't even sit in your living room. You don't even have a place to put the clothes. What was a great deal? What kind of fits? I got it, so then when I lose some weight, I'll fit in it, you know? If you don't have a plan, all of that stuff will just come crashing into your life, and you will just have all of this chaos in your life. Thrift store shopping is very mundane in the scope of things, don't you think? But we can see in it. We can see in it, my brothers and sisters, that the kingdom of God, the goodness of God, the love of God, who God is, wants to be revealed and abide within you, to order your life. And it's not to restrict your life. It's not to impoverish you. It's intended to set you free. What God wants to reveal about who you are, not only in general, in the goodness of your humanity, in the image and likeness of God you have been created, in general, you are good. Not only good, but very good, Genesis tells us. Even in your brokenness. But what he wants to reveal within us, the world, my brothers and sisters, would be impoverished if you were not a part of it. And I can hear people responding. Not saying it out loud, I can hear people saying, like, lie. Not true. Oh yeah? The world would be impoverished without you being a part of it. There is no one like you. There has never been anyone like you. And there never will ever be someone like you ever again. You bring infinite value to the world because you exist. And you are unique. You are not an accident. You are a piece of art that is unrepeatable. Your existence in the world brings value and worth in a way you cannot even fathom. And God wants to reveal that in you. It is so essential, my brothers and sisters, that God finds that place within us and that our whole life draws its meaning and understanding from Him and Him alone. We got all these things in our life. Your faith in Jesus Christ is not a hobby. It is not on par with the other things in your life. It is the heart of the matter. I'll give one last example, then I will stop. Celebration of Mass. We are here today, right? We're here today. Why? Well, it's an obligation, Father. The church says I have to be here. Check. Right? You are here to be invited in to the offering of Jesus Christ to His Father that was made 2,000 and some odd years ago. Or about 2,000 or a little less than 2,000 years ago. You are being invited to enter in to this one offering. Well, that's kind of nice of Him to be able to open that up and allow me in. No, my brothers and sisters, it's not nice. Is there any other way in your life that you can lay down your life, because there is no greater love than what? To lay down one's life for one's friends. Right? No greater love. Well, you know, I took someone's trash out the other day. No, no greater love. I picked up someone some peanut butter and they called me and said, hey, can you pick up some peanut butter at the grocery store? No, no greater love. There is no greater love than to lay down your life for your friends. How can you do that and still live? Right here. Right here. It is not bread and wine that is offered on the altar. It is you and me. We are one with Him. So it is very vitally important, this celebration of the Mass. Why? Because Jesus is doing what Jesus does. He is loving the Father. He is emptying Himself. He is pouring Himself out. And that is exactly who you are. It is who you are. You were created in the image and likeness of God, who is love. There is no greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. We come to the celebration of the Mass, and yes, we receive the Eucharist and communion with Jesus, but first we act in communion with Jesus to lay down our lives through Him, with Him, and in Him in the gift to the Father. This is who you are. And why is this so essential, my brothers and sisters? It is so essential that we understand this and we enter into the Mass and we know that in the Mass, I die and I don't die. I give myself completely away and I am given back to myself and I can walk out of the church alive. Jesus' invitation for you to do the greatest thing that you could possibly do as an expression of love to the Father, and that is lay your life down. Jesus says, this is who you are, and I'm going to allow you to enter into my gift of myself to the Father so that you can die and live. Because you need this. You need this. This is your heart. This is who you are. Essentially, the very depths, the core of who you are you'll never find it on a Hallmark card. You live to die. Happy Valentine's Day. You live. You are created for one purpose, to pour yourself out in love for others. And this is how it works. We see God revealing Himself, and it reveals who we are. The Mass is just not something that you can just set aside. I'll go next week. I'll watch it online. Your participation in this reinforces. You know who you are. Are you the body of Christ by your baptism and your confirmation? Yes. Then today the body of Christ lays itself down in death for love. That's why you're here. Some of you got up this morning and came to Mass. You didn't even know why you were coming. And I got to be honest with you. I'm trying to wrap my mind around that invitation to die. And I recognize in myself such poverty and knowing how to do this today in the celebration of the Mass. In saying yes to the gospel, you're not a naked poor man holding on to a pearl. To possess that, you possess everything in your life, but you possess it ordered to your life. You see the difference? You can have everything back in your life, but now it's ordered to your life. Not to your death, not to your destruction. Amen.